Secondly, not only like David do we all have battles, like David we all are going to make choices. That's what verses 3 and 4 are about. David pauses, surveys the battlefield, and goes to the second level of the psalm, and he makes a series of choices. David shows us what made him such a godly example. David turns his attention from his problems to God. See, he made a choice. He's been looking around, looking at the trenches, looking at the men, getting in their positions, thinking about, he fought so many times, he knew exactly how far, he knew how far arrows could be shot, he knew how far a spear could be thrown, he is seeing if the outer perimeter is enough to protect him from a bow shot, and I mean, the whole thing, he's going through it all. Suddenly, as he looks at God, and that's the choice he made, everything gets back into proper proportion. David makes this marvelous transformation by holding tightly to a truth about God. Notice what he says in verse 3. He looks up from the battlefield, up at the Lord, and verse 3 says, "You, O Lord, are a shield for me." He affirms a truth he clung to and knew for certain about God. He held tight. God had been a shield in past days for David. That's a truth. That was the focus of past praise he'd offered to the Lord. So David says, "You are a shield about me." And then he says, "You're my glory. You're the one I want to please. You're the one I want to live for. You're worth living for. You're worth praising. You're worth honoring." That's what glory means. By the way, he says, "You, O what? You, O Lord." Very careful in his picking of names. He used the name for God that means God, the covenant-keeping God. That's what Jehovah or Yahweh is. The God who makes and keeps covenants. You know, easier way to say that? The God who keeps his word. And so David addresses God by the name Lord. The significance is that this is a name for God as the God who keeps his word. So David says, "Lord, you who keep your word, you who brings to pass your promises, your covenants you've made, you who keep your word, be a shield around me because you've promised to do that and you've always been that." See, this is a very little choice that David made. He just said, "Let's see. While I'm here in this terrible time, what do I remember about God? He's the Lord. He keeps his word, his covenants. He's been a shield." I mean, David, who writes the scripture, he could have rattled off 100 names of God. That's how many different ones he uses in the Psalms. He only needed one. You know, you don't have to master. You don't have to carry around, you know, all the names of God by Lockyer. You just grab one and hold on to it. And he takes that and he says, "You can be what you've always promised and always have been. I trust you." And this exposes a secret that kept David even through the darkest hours. Just for a second, we have to look back at 1 Samuel 30. Because this is one of my all-time favorite verses. Whenever I'm struggling and discouraged, I always go back and look at 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And you ought to have this marked. If you haven't got it marked already, get a pen out or something. Because this is so beautiful. David knew and trusted the Lord. And that trust in the Lord stayed with David since way before his rule as king. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. He reminds himself the Lord can be trusted and counted upon as the one who would lift up his head. In the dark days when the Amalekites plundered David's home, stole his property, and took his family hostage, in 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6, what did David do then? Now, I alluded to it this morning. Remember, David thought back about how all of his kids have been hauled off and his wives and all his goods by these desert-dwelling people, these terrorists of old. And he faced that. And in 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6, the Amalekites take Ziklag. And verse 2, they take the women and those who were there from small to great. They didn't kill anyone. They just carried them off. And so verse 3, David and his men came to the city. And there was everything. Kind of like Gaither's songs, "My dreams turned to ashes." Well, all their buildings turned to ashes. Everything that they had was burned with fire. and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. And verse 4, David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, and they had until they had no more power to weep. I mean, they were just overcome. They were just wailing. I mean, it just was a horrific thing. These 600 men, David's men, came marching back into town from an outing of their going out and fighting. And they crossed over the hill and came to the top, and they looked down. It's just burned nothing. And they just cried until they couldn't cry anymore. Then, it says, verse 5, and David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. And David, verse 6, was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. It's a really bad time. David lost everything. They lost everything. And they were so angry, they were going to kill him, stone him to death. And so in this desperate moment, here's the key to David's life. But David, the end of verse 6, strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Didn't have a Bible. Didn't have a CD to pop in that worship music to kind of make me feel a little better. He didn't have, you know, a little radio to, you know, listen to Charles Stanley, you know, and get an upbeat sermon, feel better. Didn't have his study Bible. Didn't have his verse cards. Didn't have a fellowship to run to, you know, get to the men's Bible study. Look what he did. And this is really what it comes down to. It's where we have to get to. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That was the secret of his life. When he faced fear and discouragement, the only true comfort comes from God. Remember, we started this whole thing saying God is the only one that can affect us on the inside. Everybody else can affect the outside. God's the only one that can change, bring comfort, strength, encouragement, healing to the inside. And that's what David found. Now, back to Psalm 3 and 4, or Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4. We'll close. We'll have to pick up here next time. But look at this. David strengthened himself in the Lord. That's a little choice. We all make choices. The first one says, look at the battle. Look at your battlefield. I look at my battlefield. After you do that, pause and think about it. And then lift your eyes to the Lord and start thinking about him. And David thought about him. When David couldn't go on, when he couldn't even look up because he was so cast down, at that moment he felt the gentle hand of his loving Lord under his chin lifting his head. That's why he says, you, O Lord, are the lifter of my head. It is the Lord who can truly encourage us. He is the only one that can lift our heads when they're cast down. David knew that, he sought that, he wanted that, and he experienced that. So now, in his saddest hour, he declares, By faith. Nothing had changed. Absalom was still usurping the throne. Absalom still had the armies. David was still driven out of town. David was away from his family. David was all alone. David was in a vulnerable position. Nothing had changed. But in this saddest hour, he declares in faith, you are the one who lifts up my head. You are the one who encourages and strengthens me. I remember, and I want you to do that again. I need your help now. Now, there's a little choice we have to think about, because sin always beats us down. God always lifts us up. And it should be that Christians are like God, lifters, not beaters down. He says, Lord, you always lift me up. Others may ignore us. God, you always answer me. And then he says, look at the end of verse 4. He says, you're the one who always hears me from your holy hill, verse 4. And there it comes again, Selah. Look at this. Think about this. Stop and think about that truth. Let it settle on your heart. God always lifts. God always shields. God always answers. I'm going to think about the God I can trust, and I'm going to stop looking at my battlefield. You notice it's a little choice he makes. He goes in the first two verses and says, everybody's against me. Everybody says, no help for me. And he says, And then he says, but you, O Lord. And he lifts his heart, his eyes to the Lord. Anxiety is meditating on my problems, but peace is believing his promises. And that's what David chooses.